Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and that was me last night. My camera did that funny thing again. All right, see if I can get this actually going live this morning. Hey, there I am. Okay. I don't know why it does that. Sometimes it just gets locked on something. Anyway, that was my face from last night when I was setting everything up. Happy Friday morning, everyone! Grogu says, good morning. Happy Friday. Must be a Friday if we've got the Grogu Baby Yoda child Mandalorian mug going. Hope your day's off to a wonderful start. Still waiting for, like, the massive outburst of cicadas here at our place. We're seeing some. Definitely have some. Each day we go out and there's, you know, 5, 10 or so. But I kind of want to see that, like, you know, hundreds of them kind of a thing. Maybe I don't really want to see. Maybe that's just crazy, but I don't know. I find them fascinating. Interesting aspect of God's creation. All right, we're in Psalm 64 this morning, which is a great psalm to encourage us when we're dealing with opposition from the enemy of our souls and from the world, and to persevere on trusting in God. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into Psalm 64 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are your children, and we are your saints, citizens of your heavenly kingdom, ambassadors for Christ. You've placed us in hostile territory. You send us out as sheep among wolves to go and represent the Prince of Peace in a world of conflict. Father, we pray that you would teach us through Psalm 64 how to trust in you, how to cry out to you, how to love you, how to be faithful to you in the midst of a world where we are constantly under attack and where we are waiting for our eternal glory, but we should not just be hiding or doing nothing. And so help us to trust in you. Write this psalm on our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 64 is written to the choir master, and it is a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep. But God shoots his arrows at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin with their own tongues turned against them. All who see them will wag their heads. Then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let the upright in heart exult. And I've got that verse all by itself because that's our application point at the end of this psalm. So David's crying out to God. You know, we see this again and again. This is a lament. Lament is the most common type of psalm. David is pouring out his complaint before the Lord. And again, he's doing it as he so often does because there's an enemy. Secret plots of the wicked. It's a throng of evildoers. These are people who are talking against him. Bitter words. This makes me think of, well, either one of the two times when David was really being conspired against, but this one for some reason makes me think of when he was fleeing from King Saul. Because the word was being spread that David was rebelling against Saul and was trying to overthrow Saul, and that's why he was being chased down. I think of Nabal, right? Nabal and Abigail, that story. it's clear that Nabal had believed these rumors that David was, you know, an insubordinate member of King Saul's court who had risen up against him. So anywhere David went, he ran the risk that the people there would have believed these lies about him. And he was on the run for a long period of time, which means King Saul held fast to his evil purpose to try to get David, even though David was innocent. And King Saul kept diligently searching for David. That's why this reminds me of that time. The Absalom Rebellion was a shorter-lived thing, so this makes me think of that time when Saul was chasing him. But what about us? Of course, we know the Bible tells us that we have enemies. Satan, the world, our own flesh, the enemy within. You know, all of them lie, and all of them shoot at us with arrows, seeking suddenly to plot and snare us. Satan comes at us with blasphemous lies about God. Accusations, doubts. We were talking to a group of high school students last week, talking about some of the things people struggle with, and doubt was one of them. And we realized doubt really is the enemy's arrows. In the Garden of Eden, when Satan came at Eve, he came with, "Did God really say?" And when Satan came at Jesus in the Judean wilderness, he said, "If you are the Son of God." And it seems like those are the two most common doubts Satan brings at us. Did God really say? Can you really trust the Bible? Are you really going to take this Bible book seriously? And if you really are, right? If you really are a Christian, if you really are a child of God, if you really are a saint, right? So doubting God's word and doubting our own identity in Christ, Satan comes at us with his arrows. Tongue like a sword, bitter words like arrows, or just blasphemous thoughts against God that come from Satan. The world comes at us with mocking, ridicule, and distraction and temptation. Wouldn't this over here be so much better than following God? Wouldn't you rather have this over here than a life of disciplined obedience to the Lord? Our own flesh says, "Yes, that's what I want. You're a fool to deny yourself and follow God." We are under attack constantly. The inward mind and heart of a man are deep. When I look at that line, I think, wow, yes. Because all these things come at us from Satan, from the world, from our flesh, into the inward mind and heart of a man, and they're deep. And they can run deep and have multi-layers to them and just keep coming and coming. But God. Oh, two of the most glorious words in all of Scripture. But God. God is not leaving us defenseless. God is not abandoning us. Sometimes we can feel that way. We can feel like we're alone. We can feel like we're surrounded by these enemies and we're all cut off and there's no hope for us. But God has not left us on our own. God shoots his arrows at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin with their own tongues turned against them. All who see them wag their heads. Then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about. They ponder what he has done. So when God acts to defend his people, it is in a way that the world cannot understand and that the world is sort of stunned by. They don't get it. Why would someone choose to believe in this 2,000-year-old religion bound up in some dusty old book that, you know, how is that the number one bestseller in the world? How is that the book that everyone draws inspiration from? How is that the single most influential book in the history of the world? That doesn't make any sense to the world. And then when God's people come in and do powerful things like set up orphanages and serve the poor and free slaves and seek justice, the world looks and says, these people are different. There's something really strange about them. And so, that's when God acts. And God does act. So what are we to do? Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let the upright in heart exult. Rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. We don't need to be afraid. There's no reason for fear for God's people, because God's people are safe and secure in the arms of our Savior. Well, I want to take you briefly to a New Testament passage that helps us unpack these things for us as New Testament believers, 1 Peter 5. I think we've looked at this one before in the context of some of these enemy psalms, but it's a good one. It's a great passage to really meditate on, pray through, even memorize. It's a wonderful passage. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. See how wonderful this is? It begins with humbling ourselves. It begins with realizing that we are not our own defenders. We are not our own saviors. We are not the ones truly in charge. Humbling ourselves. Trusting in God. But then we are to be sober-minded and watchful, because we do have an enemy, and he is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. All these people who have been deconstructing their faith lately and walking away, it's almost always because they drop their guard and they go after the things in the world and they think, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that you really do have an enemy who's trying to destroy you, and you really do need to be sober-minded and be watchful, and you really do need to resist him firm in your faith. We're all in this together. All over the world, we're in this together. And so we can stand in solidarity as one people of God. We can pray for one another. We need to be praying for our Christian brothers and sisters in Burma right now. The news calls it Myanmar, but the proper name of the country is Burma. And they are suffering intense persecution right now. We need to be praying in solidarity with them. This life is just a short, brief moment in the light of eternity. So no matter how long or how deeply we suffer, we only suffer here for a little while. And then the God of all grace, who's called us to his eternal glory in Christ. Look at that contrast. Suffer for a little while, eternal glory in Christ. I mean, can you even compare the two? Suffer for a little while, eternal glory in Christ. What's he going to do? He himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So what are we to do? Rejoice in the Lord, take refuge in him, and exult in his glorious promises and his perfect presence. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you because you have first loved us. We are yours because you have made us your own. We are the righteous ones, not because of any righteousness we have in and of ourselves, but only because of the righteousness of Jesus given to us as a gift. And so we thank you, and we trust you. We trust that you who called us to yourself will keep us. You who have made us your own will guard us and protect us. We do suffer in this world, Father. You've told us to expect that. We do have an enemy who seeks to destroy us. You told us about him. You've not left us uninformed, and you've not left us unprotected, for you are with us. Be with us, O God. Be our shield and our defender, and strengthen our hope in you and our joy in you. For there's nothing this world could bring against us that could touch our standing with you as your dearly loved children. And oh, how we long for that eternal glory in Christ that is coming. We pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this Lord's Day morning is our final outdoor worship service at the 4-H camp. So if you want to join us for outdoor worship at the 4-H camp, you've got one more chance to do it this coming Sunday, the 23rd. And then starting next Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, May 30th, we'll be back at our old stomping grounds, the Knights of Columbus Newport Terrace building in Forest Hill. It's on Newport Drive. And invite you to come to that and be with us for that. We will be providing nursery care when we go back to Knights of Columbus, so you can come and bring your young children. And we launch Sunday school again on June 6th with an all-church prayer gathering during the Sunday school hour. So I hope you can join us for worship. If not, we'll look forward to seeing you back here on Monday morning as we get into the Psalms of Asaph again. We'll be back and looking forward to that time together. Have a blessed day in the Lord.